Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move.
Good. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, okay? And as we begin to look at this, I never feel like I get fully dressed here. I don't know. Anyway, as we begin to look at the passage today, I want to preface it right now that we're not going to look at all the verses in the passage that we're going to look. I'm going to skip through, and I'm not trying to give you a message saying, oh, those aren't important. I think all of the Bible's important. It's just in order to get through what I need to get through today, I got to skip a few verses here and there, okay? So just so you know that, they're still an integral part, and they have an important message about the body of Christ in this section, okay, that we're going to be looking at. I also just want to take a moment. I don't always do it, don't always think to do it, but thanks for allowing me to be your pastor. You know, every now and then I get to think about how privileged I am. And there are a lot of pastors that struggle. The church we were at Beaver Dam yesterday, you know, that pastor up there, I guess he's been serving there for many, many, many years, okay? And small congregation, but he's been very faithful in serving there. And just thinking about this difficulties he has to do the job that he has in his location made me appreciate that you guys make it so easy for me to do my job. And thank you. Thanks for your love. Thanks for your support in so many ways. Just a thought to reflect on. We've been looking at talking about the body of Christ over the last several weeks. And we talked about the church in the nature of the church, that it's a universal, that once a person receives Christ in their life, they're automatically a member of the universal church that's all around. Okay, that all believers belong to that, okay? But then there are local congregations. We talked about that, how they're referenced in the Scripture and in the New Testament, and they were talking about the local congregations. And the letters, many of the letters that were written to local congregations, okay, in the New Testament, as is 1 Corinthians, the book that we're going to be reading from. And the idea was that there are local churches, and there it's a need that we need to plug ourselves into a local body of Christ, a local church where we can serve and where we can do the work that God's called us to. And I talked about the mission of the church, that the reason why we have both a universal church and a local church is because there's a mission. And we talked about Jesus and his commission, his personal commission, which was what? To seek and to save the lost. He said, that's why I've come. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. And as he was leaving, he took that commission note and says, here, now it's yours. Go and make disciples and baptize them, okay? So we're called to evangelize and to educate other people around us. And I don't care how we put it down in a document. Every church shares in some form or fashion that mission, okay? That's what we're being about. And I think it's sad and unfortunate today that so many churches have gotten wrapped up in more in the social theologies and serving social purposes rather than focusing upon the mission of evangelism and education for the body, okay, and to teach believers how to follow Christ. So that's kind of our mission, and what we see to be our mission here in this community is to reach out into the community and here locally in our state and in our world, and we try to do that, I think, in the way we spend our dollars and in the programs that we support. And so after talking about the mission, we also talked last week about the body of the Christ, okay, that the church is not just a ambiguous thing that's out there. It's not a building. It is the body of Christ, okay? And we talked about that looking at the passage in Ephesians chapter 4. If you remember last week, I told you to take out your pens and pencils and go through that passage in Ephesians 4 and mark all the places where it said 1, 1, 1, 1 and all the alls, okay? To show you that the body of Christ, there's a unity in that body of Christ, that we're all part of that and we're all necessary to it. Talked about how some people kind of think it's all about them. When they read that all, they think it's all about them, right? And they get puffed up and they get a little egotistical and they think it's about them. We talked about how that is kind of a cancer within the church. That whenever we start thinking the church is about you and what your wants are and what meeting your needs specifically, that becomes more like a cancer, okay? And just like a cancer in the human body, that it's a cell that's misbehaving, that thinks everything that comes into the body is supposed to be for it, okay? And it begins gobbling up all the resources, and as it multiplies, that cancer spreads. It gobbles up and eats all the resources and leaves nothing for the rest of the body. Soon, the body shuts down, basically from starvation, in a sense, even though you're feeding it, okay? And that's kind of what a cancer does in many ways. It robs the body of the strength that it needs. Just like whenever we start building our own empires and thinking the church is about us, we begin to destroy it. And then there's the other extreme, and we talked about those who think they're not necessary to the church. Those that think, oh, the church can get by without me, okay? I don't need to do my job. They're going to do fine without me. Talked about my thyroid, if you remember, okay? I don't know how many others have a hypothyroid, but one that thinks, my thyroid thinks that I don't need it, and so it stopped working a while back, okay? And not completely, but a little bit. And threw all my body chemistry out of whack, and I went to the doctors and complained, said I'm not feeling good, and he says, did a blood panel, found out my thyroid wasn't working, and gave me a little pill to help fix it, okay? But the point is that I couldn't function right, my body wasn't functioning right, when my thyroid thought it wasn't important, okay? And the idea here is all of us need to do the job that God's called us to do and put us in the church to do in order to be part of it. And if you think about it, I just want to throw this in. I didn't mention it last week, but I'll throw it in. Both those that think the whole church is about them, the ones that are egotistical and want to build their empires, and those that think they have nothing to offer, and those that think that they're not needed in the church, both of those are the same, are from the same sin. It's egocentricity, okay? It means I think I'm the most important person. The world revolves around me. What I think is what really matters. And both of those have that same root, okay? And just a thought to think about in the way we look at it, how we perceive the church and the work in the church. Instead, they think it's about them, by the way, instead of knowing that it's about the head, Jesus Christ, which is what the church is here for. It's to serve the head, Jesus Christ. That is our mission. That is our goal. Okay? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul begins in this section, and remember, he's written the letter to the Corinthians to kind of correct some bad teaching, some things that were mistakes that were going on, to help provide ongoing instruction on this is the way you act in your function as a church, as a body of Christ. And he goes on. And he's been talking about several things, made some corrections about the Lord's Supper and some other stuff. He comes to this section about the gifts, and that's what he starts with in chapter 12. He starts talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And there's speculation, and the way it's worded, it makes you think that almost that Paul is responding to a question from them. They ask him something, and he was responding to them and their inquiry about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I don't want to focus on the first few verses. It's talking about the different gifts that he gives. The emphasis in it is the work of the Spirit here, by the way, in those first several verses. It's, again, once again, emphasizing unity. One Spirit gives one, you know, it to unite one body, okay? That's what he's saying in those first several verses. I want to start, though, at verse 12, okay, as he's talked at. And again, those first verses are important. They're just not to the point of what I want to make and what I want to discuss as the body of Christ today. So in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 12, Paul continues in his discussion. He says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. Well, let me back up just a second. I do want you to touch on verse 11. He says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes to each one just as he determines. Okay, so he's talking about the gifts the Holy Spirit gives to each one just as the Holy Spirit determines, all right? Then he goes on, he says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Get the point here. He's still talking about there's a diversity, but there's a unity. Your body parts are not the same. Not every cell is the same as every other cell. But they all work together to make you who you are, right? They work together. He says, and that is the way it is with Christ and his body. Verse 13, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, I want to finish reading, but before we keep going too far, I want to pray. Okay. Father, as I come to this time, I'm so guilty. I get wrapped up in what I'm trying to say and what I want to get out, that I failed to stop and give you a chance to calm our hearts. And so, Father, I pray right now that each heart will be calmed by your Holy Spirit, that just as Jesus calmed the seas as the disciples were sailing, that, Father, your Spirit will come and calm us. I pray, God, that the distractions of this world, you know, the games that are going to be on TV, with the projects we have to do this afternoon, all these things, God, take those and put them aside. I pray, God, that the struggles, the turmoil in our life, the emotional battles that we face, the medical concerns, the family issues, all these things, Father, send your Holy Spirit to calm the waters. So that, Father, we are at peace and we can listen to your word today. And I pray just that your Spirit will come and be our instructor and open up your word to us. In Christ's name, amen. Now, the point here in these first few verses in chapter that we've just read in chapter 12, he's pointing out the body. There's the unity of the body, just like he did in Ephesians chapter 4. He was talking about the unity of the body, that all of us are different, but we form one body. He makes a point here that I want you guys to pick up on. In verse 13, he says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. And he inserts this thought. He says, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. Paul is making a statement that goes opposite of our culture today and opposite of what we're finding in the social world. Our society is built around causing divisions, separating people into lots of little group and putting them here and putting them there and putting them elsewhere, okay? And wants to pigeonhole us, wants to isolate us from other people that may be different from us. They want to put us in together. And they're dividing us based upon our ethnicity, upon our races, upon our education, upon our economic status, our social status, our desires. They're categorizing us and pigeonholing us in all sorts of ways, okay? And our society wants to separate us and isolate us. Here, listen to the opposite. Jesus says that it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't matter your heritage. It doesn't matter whether you're a slave or a free. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter your social standing. It doesn't matter. He says, you are one body. Instead of dividing us, Christ has brought us together. Now, you remember the Tower of Babel, the story of the Tower of Babel. God separated us there because we were trying to become like God and we were rebelling against the head, against God. And God brought language in, caused disruption, and caused us to separate. Okay? However, here it is, thousands of years ago, Christ comes, he brings redemption upon the cross, and those who identify with that, recognize it, and submit to the head, Jesus Christ, he has brought back together to unify us. No longer the division that was caused by our sin, but he's brought us back together to bring us unity and to allow us to experience the oneness that he designed for us from the beginning. Okay? It was our sin that caused this separation. It is still sin, by the way, that causes us to be isolated and separated right now. We need to fight against that. The church today needs to fight against that and fight and stand up and say, no, I'm not different from you simply because your skin's a different color. I'm not different from you because you went to a different school. I'm not different from you. We are one in Jesus Christ. And as long as we each bow and submit to the head, Jesus, we are one. Okay? Now, that's just that had nothing to do with the sermon, okay? All right, that's just a parenthetical thought. No, it was part of it, but not the major point. Because I want to go on here. It says, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. And he's trying to point out, each of you are struggling to become like somebody else because you think that's the way to be. You're trying to conform to be something that you're not. He's trying to point out and remind us that the body is made up of many different parts. And he says, now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. In other words, you can protest all you want. You can say, well, I'm not what I want to be. You can protest about it and say, well, I'd rather be up here singing, or I'd rather be in the kitchen working so I don't have to be around people. I'd rather. Is that why you go in the kitchen, Alice? Oh, okay. I'd rather scrub the floors, or I'd rather do this, or I'd rather have. You can look at yourself and say, well, I'm not what I'd like to be doing. But that's not where God made you. That's not the purpose he's given you. And our problem right now, I think, in so many churches, and this was the problem in Corinth, is they were trying to be something that God didn't call them to be. Paul's trying to make them identify that God has gifted them uniquely for a specific task. Just like God gifts the individual cells in our body with a specific task, and he equips them to do that task in our bodies, in the place that he puts it, in the same way God has placed you in the body to do the task that he's called you to do, that he wants done, okay? And he goes on, he says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? He's raising that very point. If we were all the same, how could we function? Do you guys remember that old sci-fi movie, The Crawling Eye? The whole thing was just a big eye. Nobody watched that. Golly, what's wrong with you? Or maybe I should ask the question, what's wrong with me? I watched it. something, I don't know. Every time I read this passage, I think of that movie, The Crawling Eye, Big giant eye that was consuming, going to eat up the world. Anyway, but the point is that every one of us has a different function within the body, and we have to come and adapt ourselves to it. Now, if you want to underline something in your Bible, if that's not sacrilegious to you, and you can do that, this is just printed page. It's the word that's sacred, not the page, okay? You can underline this. And I think this is the most important sentence, the most important verse in this entire passage, okay? Verse 18. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Isn't that so profound? And Paul points it out. It's an obvious thing. He put our bodies together just as he wanted them to be, and he gave each of us an assignment in the place that he put us in the body, and he wants us to be there and function in the body just as he designed it. I think one of the problems in our churches today is we're busy saying, God, I don't like the way you put this body together, so I'm going to change it. How many people, plastic surgery, golly, how many people you see people before and after pictures, and they don't like their, so they get those injections to fill their lips. Got this lip that sticks out. Notice those people. Yeah, I think it's, people are, we're not satisfied with the way God made us, so we're trying to make changes. And we do that in the body of Christ. We say, God, I don't like the way you put this body together. I don't like that he's a member here. I don't like that she's involved. I don't like the way this is done. And if I had my choice, I'd rather be this way, God, and I'm going to take that person out and I'm going to rearrange things. And we think we can do a better job than what God does. Guys, he put us here because he wanted us. And who is the head? He is, not me. What we do is we go out and we say, well, we're going to run this program. And so we design a program. We say, okay, now we got to find the people to fill it. And, oh, you're not the one that God's called for this, but you're available, so we're going to put you here. And we force people to do jobs that God never designed them to do, and we're causing chaos and destruction and burnout in our churches because people are not being fulfilled in the ministry because they're doing things that God never intended for them to do. But the same is true. The opposite is true because we have those people then that are over here and saying, God, I don't like the fact that that's the job you gave me, so I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to sit here and I'm not going to do what you told me to do. And we have our pouting. I'm the best of pouters. My grandson has raised it to new levels, though, okay? You ask him to do something, no! And then he runs off in the corner and he stands there and says, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it, you know? And, you know, the reality is so many of us as Christians behave the same way. When God calls us to a task, to do something, and we refuse and we rebel against him. Paul is pointing out, you're part of the body. You have a role within it, and no one else can fulfill that role except you because God put you there. And folks, this is not just the church universal. He's talking to a local body of believers, and he's making this point to that local body of believers. In this church, God has provided and brought everyone into this church to equip this church to do the ministry that he's called it to do if we would all do what he's put us here for. Okay? Isn't that simple? And if we stop chasing the things he doesn't want us to do. He goes on. In verse 21, he continues on some thoughts. And this is part of that place. It's important statements, but not my point today, okay? So skip to verse 27. Listen to this. He says to the Corinthians, he says, now you are the body of Christ. And he says that to you today. You are the body of Christ. And each one of you is part of it, whether you want to be or not, I guess. Even if you want to be a part of somebody else's body, you're part of his body. He's called you here. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles. Now, he goes on through here, and he gives a list of different things that God is in, offices and stuff that he's placed. It's not an exhaustive list, so I don't want to focus on it. But I want you to skip down to the bottom. Verse 30, he says, do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak tongues? Do all interpret? It's rhetorical questions, and the answer is an obvious no, okay? No, we don't all. We don't all do the same thing, is what Paul is saying. We're going to be different. And he goes on then, as he's talked in the context of the gifts, he's talking about he goes on and he says in verse 31, now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. And Paul goes into chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, and what do we know that as? The love chapter, okay? Now, I want to remind you of this truth. Paul did not write in chapters and verses. In other words, Paul is still on the same thought. He's still talking about the body of Christ. He hasn't stopped talking about the body of Christ. And he comes in and he's introducing, and he's going to tell them about love now, and he's going to describe it in a way that helps us understand the characteristics of what love is and how God loves us and the fact that love needs to be the primary thing that flows in our lives, okay? Now, here you go. Here's Theology O'Brien 101, okay? Now, I'm not going to sure you'll pass a theology class. I've never run this past any of my theology teachers, so I don't know how it would stand up. But I think what Paul is saying here, I'm going to take a step, is the fact that love is the blood that flows through the church. Think about it. What is it that all of us have? We have blood that flows through our bodies. What's the purpose of that? It comes, it brings the oxygen, it brings the nutrients, it delivers those out to the cells in the body that are doing the work, right? And it keeps all that energy flowing, and it helps us be strong and healthy. And without that blood flowing, what happens? We die. It's that simple. We die. We wither and we die. And it's that love that flows through. And I think that is what Paul's saying. It's love that is the blood life within the body of Christ. That here you need to act yourself, not be concerned about what part you fell in the body of Christ, but make sure you're allowing that love to flow through it. To allowing that love to be that blood that circulates through everybody's body, strengthening us all and helping us stay focused in our relationship with God. It is love. Now, I find it interesting. Go back over to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I don't know if you know, recognize the passage, but this is where the Jesus, on his last night with the disciples, he's introducing the Lord's Supper, and he's gathered with them to eat a meal. And in the Gospel of John, he begins this part, and he makes a few statements, and he washes the disciples' feet, and then he goes on with the meal. And in the midst of that, he stands up, and he begins talking. In the next several chapters in John are about Jesus as he gives instruction to them, as he goes on and he prays for them, and as he lifts them up. This is his last moments. And John spends more time in this little section of Jesus' life than any of the other Gospels do. And I find it interesting, here in this instruction that he gives in John chapter 13, his final words to the disciples, in prefacing, starting at the very beginning of what he's talking to the disciples, he says this in John chapter 13, verse 34. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Now think about that for a moment. That was the most important thing that Jesus was delivering and telling his disciples. And in that context, John, because John spoke that, and John was known as the beloved disciples. You know how the Bible talks about hundreds and thousands of followers of Jesus, and they came and they followed him. Out of that, he chose out a few people, and he sent some 70 or so on a mission, and then chose out of that 12, remember? And out of those 12, he chose three: Peter, James, and John. Those were his inner circle that he had, that he taught to. And out of that, John was known as the beloved disciple. It was John who laid his head in Jesus' lap at the Lord's Supper, at the Last Supper. It was John that followed Jesus to the cross and stood there as Jesus was crucified. And John is the one that wrote this. And if you go to the book of John, 1 John, you'll find over and over again, he gives this instruction about love. And there's an old story, and one of my professors told it to me, this story, so I know it's got to be true. She was probably there, so I don't know. I know, that was a bad joke, okay. but I couldn't resist it, I'm sorry. She was such a wonderful lady, too. I shouldn't say that. Anyway, she told us that this is a traditional story that's been told about John. That John, in his old age, he came finally, and he was invited to speak at a church. And this is probably one of the last times he was going to speak. And people had gathered, the disciples had gathered all over. They filled the room. It was packed, and there was all this excitement and energy. And they were waiting for him to speak. And after he finally got to that point, he stood up from the chair and very slowly walked up to the front, where he turned around and he addressed the congregation. And he said this. He said, "Beloved, love one another." And he sat down. John knew what Jesus was talking about when he said, "A new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." And folks, I think one of the things that needs to happen in our churches today is we need to learn to love one another. I think the church, I think God looks down upon us and his heart breaks because we haven't practiced that love. And we, as a result, we've ended up in divisions, and we've ended up in denominations. And I'm not saying we should do away with the denominations. I'm here to tell you I am Southern Baptist, and I always probably will be, okay? But that my first allegiance is to Christ. I am Southern Baptist because I believe Southern Baptists follow Christ the closest to my understanding. But there are those in our congregation who attend. There are those in our congregation who are here on occasion, and they are committed followers of Christ, but they were raised in different traditions, and they believe what they were raised with. And I embrace that. I'm delighted that they come here. And I hope that we always can support them and strengthen them in their pursuit of who God is. We don't have to agree on every doctrine. We don't have to agree in the way we understand every detail. What we need to agree upon is this: Jesus is the head. Jesus is the one who died. Jesus is the way to the Father. He is the only one that brings forgiveness of sins and cleansing. We need to agree upon that and practice love among us. Now, I have two challenges. It's time. Time. I know some of you shut your hearing aids off at 12 o'clock, so I'm going to finish up. I have two challenges as you leave today. And normally I don't give homework, but I'm giving it to you today. And this week I want you to go home and I want you to think about this. You're part of this body, and God has brought you here. Whether you're have formally joined in membership or not, you're part of this body because God's brought you here. So I'm asking you, why? If he's brought you here and he's put you here, he has something for you to be doing in this church. He has a reason. You are here for a purpose. That's what the scripture just told me. God put you here as he has desired. So why? And are you doing it? Are you doing it? Are you living out in submission to the Father, to the head, the task that he's given you to do in this church? Now, I'm not telling you what that task is. I don't ever want to second guess my Lord, but I believe that he speaks to our hearts and he tells us. I never thought as a young teenager that I'd be standing here in front of people talking, period. Even as an adult, I never thought I'd be leading music. Okay, I never thought I would be doing the things that I do. But God put me here. He's brought me here, and I'm saying, God, here I am. How do you want to use me? Are you willing to say the same thing to him? And then the second thing is this. Are you allowing the love of God to flow through the body? Have we been practicing as a church, as a body of Christ, the love that Jesus said, all men will know you are my disciples because of the way you love one another? Have you been practicing that? Are we as a church practicing that? Do we need to change? What do we need to do to show better the love of God to those who come here and to our community and those around us and to this world? I still believe God has a mission for us. I believe that he has a plan that is bigger than this church. Bigger than this building, for sure. He has something for us to do. I'm praying that God will show us, but I believe it's going to include that we need to learn to love, or that we practice love. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we go from this place today, that we might receive the challenge, and that your Spirit might continue to speak to us this week, revealing yourself to us, revealing your desires, helping us to surrender ourselves to you. I pray, God, that we all might become known as a community of love, where your love flows to every person with whom we have an encounter. It's in Christ's name. Amen. Yeah. 6:45 tomorrow is what time we're supposed to be showing up there. So it's always...
I'd like to ask the congregation something, because I'm going to really do God's people.
Yeah.
In the morning, we would just take a second and, as a congregation, pray.
Yeah.
For all of us, we need that baby.
Well... yeah. I'm not going to tell you could do without her, because I can't. I agree, Tom, absolutely, and I know God's power. We have no idea what tomorrow holds. We don't know what the outcome of this is. And I'll tell you, I have been praying, and this is something my wife and I are struggling with. One of the things we determined as we go through this is we want to be more transparent with one another and the things that we're feeling and experiencing. I don't know that cancer has returned, okay? What I pray, and I want to hear from God. I want to hear him tell me. We sang a song today. Did you hear the words, I trust in you? He says, when I don't get the answers that I want, okay? When you don't give me the answer that I'm looking for, And that's where I'm at, because I want to hear God say it's going to be all right. I want to hear him say it's going to be fine, Curtis. And he hasn't told me that. What he's told me is he says, I'm going to be with you. Same thing he told us last time. And God was with us, and we walked through that together, okay? And we're here. I don't know why he won't give me the answer I want. But, yeah, it would I want. But he's not. And so I agree. My point is simply to be praying, that we need to pray and trust. And this is why there are, you might hear it in a lot of songs and a lot of things, because God's working in me, because I need to learn to trust some more. I need to learn to trust. And my God is going to see us through. He's going to see us through. So, Jeff, I'm sorry, you wanted to say something. Okay. Yes, blood red. A blood moon. Blood moon today.
Stand with me. Have a great week, everyone.